First reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak and she speaks, a message may be given to us to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Hear the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. He also said, the kingdom of God is if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like the mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are. We're continuing our series on Ephesians. And especially on the armor of God, we have a project happening at the back of the church there. We've got an armor of God banner, which will take place over the next few weeks, so that we can put the armor of God up there. And anybody who feels like helping out Michelle and Grace, go for it. So that's going on, which is great. Couple of points from our gospel reading, because I think they're worth thinking about as we come into thinking about this week's armor. And it's interesting because these are the gospel readings from the lectionary, so I haven't picked them, but they actually work really well. Because the gospel reading talks about the seed, and Jesus talks about the seed is sown by the sower, but he doesn't know how it grows. The seed is sown, he doesn't know how it grows up, and then he watches and the sun comes and the rain comes and the seed grows and the seed becomes what it's going to become. But the moment that it's ripe for harvest, he puts in the sickle and harvests what has grown. And he also talks about the mustard seed, which is tiny, weeny, weeny, weeny seed, which if you put that tiny, weeny seed in the ground, it can grow into a large tree. But it's not the person who makes the tree grow, is it? Neither is it the person who makes the plants grow. After all, have you ever watched a kid trying to wait for the bulb to come up? Right? We can stand and watch it, willing it to come up through the... But it ain't going to come up until it's the right time, is it? It's only going to grow when it grows. And one of the things about this is that we sow the seed of the gospel as we live our lives in Christ. But we don't always know how it's growing under the soil in the person that we've sowed to. And sometimes that takes time because everybody has to process at their own rate. And God knows what he needs to do to help that person to come to the place where they will grow into the person he's called them to be. And in that process, that's his work. Our work is to faithfully live out that gospel, speak it, and do it. And that's, and when we do that, we're sowing that seed. God does the rest, and then there are times when we need to come in and harvest. So somebody's heard the gospel, they come to a place where they're ready to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And it's important for us to know how to help them to make that step of faith into the family of Jesus Christ. So that's Jesus' gospel for the day, which I did not pick. And here we have our armor of God. So we're going to begin with a little recap of the learning so far to make sure we've all remembered. The good teachers all do this, don't they? They come and we recap. So we're going to recap. You remember this guy from last week? So our first thing is that call to stand firm against our enemy. And our enemy, of course, is not people. It's the powers, the principalities, the things of the evil in the world. That's our enemy. People do bad things, but they're not our enemy. They're acting like an enemy. We need to pray for them, love them, continually pray for them, forgive them, and pray against the things that are bringing them into a space where they're acting like an enemy, on a big scale and on a small scale. So, and the fact is that we have that victory. Jesus won that victory at the cross. He said it is finished. And it's finished. Done. Victory won. We're playing out, learning how to live in that victory from cross until the day that Jesus returns. And in that time, there's still evil in the world, and he has raised up an army, and that's us, to fight that in his way. So we're called to stand firm against the enemy, not human beings, but Satan, to counterattack in prayer, and we need armor if we are to fight. After all, you don't go into battle in your thongs and your board shorts, right? You go into battle with your armor. So, the belt of truth. The belt of truth, we learned last week, holds everything up. Whoops, other way. There it is. Holds everything up, the belt of truth, and it keeps us from tripping up on lies and deceit because it holds everything up, right? It's tight round your waist as a Roman soldier. It holds your armor together, even holds your undies up so they don't fall down in the middle of a battle. Very important. You don't want to trip over your undies in the middle of a battle. But that's the whole point of holding up truth. It keeps things from tripping us up because the truth about God is the truth about God. It does not change. Truth is truth. Actual truth is truth. And so the belt of truth is the truth of the gospel. It's the truth. It's also truth in our inner being. It's living in the integrity of heart and action of who God is and who we are in him. The second part of that armor is the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our life because it covers the front and the back. It covers our heart and our lungs. It covers our vital organs. And what that represents is the righteousness of God, which is Jesus' right standing with God that he had before all time, given to us in exchange for our sin at the cross, for all of the things we do that are not good things. Jesus took those on himself so that he could kill those off. All that old stuff from an old life dies at the cross and has done already, and what he calls us to do is pick up the life that he gives in response to that, once we have asked for forgiveness for those things. And then he gives us this righteousness, and he then looks at us and says, a son and a daughter, because we are not just sons and daughters because we're born in the image of God, but because we have now become adopted into the family of God as indeed God's people, and we are right before God because of Jesus. And we can always maintain that when we walk in truth and ask him for forgiveness when we know we've done the wrong thing. It works. So, we are commissioned as God's people We are commissioned by Jesus to go and make disciples. We talked about this just before. So the next part of the armor is the shoes for the gospel of peace. Now, how does that work? You read that and you go, put on whatever is going to make you ready to do the gospel of peace. Well, let's have a little think about what the shoes are that the Roman soldier wore. Shoes that they wore were leather. They had straps that came up here. But they were often, people think they were sandals. They were not always sandals. Some of them were enclosed. It depended on what part of the kingdom they were in. Roman Empire went a long way. And so sometimes they were actually enclosed to protect the whole foot as armor. But the sole of the shoe had hobnails in it. Now, those hobnails meant that they could march long distances and their shoes didn't wear out. But the other thing about the hobnails is when you are in battle and you need to stand, you need to dig your feet in and hold your shield up, right? Those hobnails grasped the ground. So the Roman soldiers didn't fight on their own. They fought as a troop of soldiers, and they would all stand with their feet dug into the ground and their shield up, and each shield would lock together, and they would make a wall. Yeah. And the ones behind would hold their shields over the top of the ones in front, and so they made a roof. And they protected one another because they stood firm together. This is important for us to remember because it is part of how we need to fight sin together. To make disciples, we need to know the gospel and be able to tell others. We also need to go. We need shoes. You can go in. That's what that's about. So what do you need to be ready to spread the gospel? Well, we need training. Training is what we do on a Sunday morning. In the Roman army, you trained every day. You trained first. If you did not turn up to training, you were punished. If you did not turn up to training twice, they killed you. Because you are obviously not committed, so don't turn up. We'll just get rid of you. Yeah. They were pretty full on, because the last thing you want is a soldier who'll run away in the battle. So you had to turn up to training, and in training they used real swords and things. They were pretty full on. You had to be able to fight because you had to be able to defend yourself against your own men in that space. It was really very, very full on. They wanted committed soldiers. To be committed to a certain degree, you need to train. You need to learn what you need to know to be able to do what you need to do. Now, we need to know a couple of things. And one of the things we need to really know is the gospel. How well do you know the gospel? How well do you know the gospel? We all tend to know something about the gospel, and we all know the story. But if somebody, say, as somebody did, that's only ever happened to me once, but I was on a train and I was studying Greek, and I was doing John's gospel in Greek, and I was sitting there with my Greek New Testament and my English New Testament, and my dictionary and all those things, and I'm writing out and translating John's gospel whilst I'm on the train on my way to Ridley College, as you do, and when you're silly enough to do Greek. But anyway, it's good to know it in the original language. You learn stuff. Anyway, this guy was watching me the whole time, and then almost to Flinders Street Station, he started to talk to me about what was happening. And so I started talking about John's gospel, and just as we're pulling into the station, he says, "What is the gospel?" And I've got 2 seconds. So what is the gospel? In a nutshell, it's Adam and Eve, the fall. We fell. We do not do the right thing. We need forgiveness for that, because God created us for himself and he loves us. He decided that he would make sure we could get that forgiveness through Jesus, who died to wash away our sins so that we could actually be forgiven. And then when we believe in Jesus, he gives us life in his name. And all of our past is gone, and we have a future in him which can't be lost, because we go and we're with him, we receive eternal life. And I can live out that way every day of my life now. And that is basically it. There's a lot more you can say, but in 2 seconds, it's about all I can get out of mouth. Right? But you know what? One day, that man, he seemed to be really genuinely asking because he was searching. That man may one day be in a place where he says, I feel awful about the things I've done in my life and I need help. Hang on, that weird lady who was studying Greek said that Jesus died so that I could be forgiven. Maybe I need to find Jesus. Who knows? But you see, that's a seed. I have no idea if it ever grew to anything. That's up to God, right? But if you don't know what to say, you go, and the train pulls up and you're done. Right? We have to know how to say it. We have to know the basics. The basics are very simple. Sin, redemption, eternal life, really. But we've got to be able to do that. And there are ways to do that, and there are ways to learn how to say it. But one of the best ways to say it is to know what Jesus has done for you. What's your story? What's your story? How did you come to that faith? How did you come to that saving faith where you really understood that Jesus had died for you, that you have had forgiveness through him, that you can, in believing in him, step into that place of forgiveness and righteousness and eternal life and all of, and have the filling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God with you? What's your story? And our stories are different, aren't they? Some of our stories are the Damascus Road, Paul on the road thing, you know, where when he's still Saul and he's riding out to kill Christians, and instead God flashes the light and he sees Jesus. He's, you know, Paul, you're persecuting us. And it's a big thing, and he suddenly realizes that Jesus really is Lord, and his life just turns a whole 180 degrees. And he starts to proclaim, yes, he died on the cross for our sins. This is truth. And some of us, like myself, grew up in a Christian family, and we've just slowly understood who God is. And I was 5 when I gave my life to Jesus, but some of us were older, and we've had that truth in our lives for a long time, and we've come to a place eventually where we've just gone, yeah, that's right. And we've accepted it, we've believed it, and we're walking in it. Right? And there's degrees of those things all the way through. But all of those stories are legitimate. Now, I'm saying that on purpose because years ago I did an evangelistic outreach at Holy Trinity Doncaster with the people from Ridley, and we all had to tell our stories. And, of course, a couple of the people there had these amazing conversion stories. And I grew up in a Christian home and came to faith when I was 5 because I knew this person who was with me, this presence of God, and I eventually said to Mum, I feel this most at church. Who is this person? And she introduced me to Jesus and helped me to understand. And I put it together. I know that name. And I knew who it was. Had been with me all my life. I just didn't know what to do about it. And Mum showed me how to believe and walk by faith and give my life to him when I was that young. And I've done it ever since. I've walked with him ever since. And there was a lady there, and she was, I think she was in her late 80s or early 90s. And after I told my story to everybody, she came up to me and she said, thank you so much. I said, what? She said, I have always felt like an illegitimate child because I didn't have a conversion experience. Somehow I had to have the experience. And I never had it, but I've believed in him all my life. And I've loved him all my life, and he's loved me. But I felt like I had to have a thing happen. And because I've never had a thing happen, I've always felt illegitimate. He said, today you've told me that all this time I've been a daughter of God. I've been a child. I've actually been redeemed from all of this time. And thank you, now I know. And she was in tears because she finally understood that she didn't need the big flashing light necessarily, because faith is faith. Telling the story helped her. But knowing our story, we have to know it to tell it. How did you come to faith? How did you get to the place where you decided that Jesus is Lord? Maybe you're not at that place yet. That's okay. Everybody's on a journey. The seed is there. You're here. You're on a journey. It's all good. because God wants you to make that journey so that you can be all that he's called you to be. So don't be afraid of being on a journey. But we need to know our story because we need to be able to tell our story. And the third thing is, can you tell someone else? Because it takes courage to tell someone else, doesn't it? Now, there are those of us who can go out and street evangelize and have no problem with that. And those of us who, the moment anybody says, go out there and tell the story of Jesus, going, you'll get them out of here. Just hide me under a rock somewhere. And that personality, and it's okay because there are evangelists amongst us and those people are called to do that. But the fact is, every one of us needs to be able to say it. Jesus said, you need to be able to call me Lord in front of others, or I will not acknowledge you. Ouch. He wants us to be able to say it. If we can't say it, do we really believe it, is one of the questions that you need to ask yourself. If someone asks me, am I a Christian, am I able to say yes? Am I prepared to then deal with the fact that somebody might ask me a difficult question? Well, if they ask you a difficult question and you don't know the answer to it, you say, look, I tell you what, we can always have another conversation, or if you're not in a position where you can, say, look, I know there is an answer and it's a good answer. Why don't you go and talk to somebody at your local church? Why don't you go and talk to and go and seek the answer, because there's an answer to that. I can't give you the full answer, but I can tell you this. And maybe it will be simply that I know that God loves you. And maybe that's all they need to help them to get past their question. You never know. People ask some very difficult questions. And most of the time what you'll find is the Holy Spirit will bring up something that you're able to answer them with, because that's what Holy Spirit is there for. It's not there just to give us a warm fuzzy one day. It's actually there to teach us, to help us. And in those situations, sometimes I've opened my mouth and this wonderful explanation has come out, and I thought to myself, when did I learn that? But maybe one day I was sitting in church and there was a sermon and I learned that, and it came out of my mouth because the Holy Spirit brought it to remembrance. And then I've gone, yeah, that's true. I know it's true. Even with a couple of degrees doesn't mean you got all the truth, folks, because the truth is in God, and the Holy Spirit knows the truth better than any of us. So we need to know it, understand it, be able to tell someone else. We need to be able to get our feet planted in the solid ground, which is the gospel. We need to know it, because if we know it, we also know where we come from and who we are. We know our place in him. This is one of the reasons why we use creeds in church sometimes, where we speak our faith out loud, so that we remember what it means and what it is, because it allows us to continue to remember what we believe. And it's important to rehearse that sometimes. It's part of the training. Okay, so to protect himself, the Roman soldier has a shield. And that shield is not metal. Sorry to all the Hollywood directors, the shield is made of wood. Now, they did have metal shields, and you've seen them, the big ones like this, but they kept those. They were too heavy to march with, and they kept them in centers, and they used them when they fought nearby. But when they were marching, when they were working, when they were out on a campaign, they carried wooden shields, and their wooden shields were lighter than the metal ones. The wood shield was round like this one, and they had leather stretched over the top of the wood. Now, one of the favorite ways of terrifying your enemy was to fire at them arrows that were burning. Seen that in all the Hollywood movies. Well, it's true, that's what they did. So, have you ever tried to light a campfire with wet wood? No, it doesn't work. And if it does work, it takes a heck of a long time because you've got to have the wood dry out, right? So what they did before they went into battle was they soaked that wood in water, and that softened the leather so that the leather was then pliable, so that it was harder for the arrow to pierce, because being pliable, leather it's soft and they're more likely to bounce off. And it allowed the wood underneath to be soaked, and with soaked leather and soaked wood, when a flaming arrow stuck into that, it went out because it couldn't burn any more than what it had in the arrow. You know, the match burns all the way to end and it goes out. So when Paul says the shield of faith puts out the flaming arrows of the enemy, this is what he's talking about. That's what they did. And when they were all in a row like that and they were up here, that wall and that roof was all soaked shield. Together they repelled the arrows better than on their own. Now a question. You said it just before, but I'm going to say it again. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Can you see what's in the mirror? See, the thing is that we often don't remember the truth of who we are, and we forget that indeed who we are is we're the lion, not the kitten. We're a children of the living God. He's on our side. He's with us. God's reality is more than just an idea or a math problem. It's not just a thing for your head, it's a thing for your heart. His reality changes who we are eternally. Eternally, we have a place with him. Eternally, we have this understanding that we are children of God. We have seats in the heavenly. We have a place where the throne of God is. It's not blind acceptance. You know, blind faith, it's not blind faith. Blind soldiers can't fight. He doesn't want blindness. He wants our eyes open, understanding the full truth of God so that we can fight properly, so that we can live properly. It's not blind faith. You're not supposed to check your brain at the door when you come into church. You're supposed to bring it with you and learn and grow because this is training. So how do I soak my shield? I use the living water. You know the living water in John 7 where Jesus says that from the believer's heart will flow living water? The living water is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The living water is access through the things we've been talking about. We soak our shield with the things of God. We remember what God has done for us, what he's done in our life, what he is doing now, and we remember what he's done over history. That's why we use the whole of the Bible, because that reminds us how God has acted over many, many years. We remember that. We get into the Bible so we can get to know what God has done, but also what God is like, because the Bible is his book and it tells us what God is like. And it helps us to understand how to walk with him, who he is in our lives and what the truth is. We pray because we're supposed to have a relationship with God. God didn't create us so he could just have little toy soldiers on a board so he could move us around. He created us so that he could actually be in relationship with us. He wants to have constant conversation, which is what prayer is. And he wants us to pray daily. Have a habit of prayer. Make it a habit, make it part of your training to pray every day. And listen for an answer. Don't just talk to him and hang up the receiver before he gets to talk back. And get into worship. Praise is the best of weapons because we're speaking the truth of God when we praise him. And that means that when it's a bad day and you do not feel at all like praising him, that's the moment to praise him. Because it will change everything. Enemy hates it. That's okay. It's like throwing the flame back on him. Because it is bringing the truth of God into the picture. And when we praise God together in church, when we come together and do these things together, we are together working as the army of God in that place. So what is the flame that the enemy uses look like? Well, look at your media and your socials. You'll see it there. Despair, doubt, all of these things are things the enemy uses. He uses them as flaming arrows to try to get us, to try to get us to think differently, to confuse our thoughts, to cause us to be afraid, or to cause us to do something, follow something which is not God. People's expectations is one of the ones I didn't put up there. Living up to somebody else's expectations and constantly falling short is a sure way to feel like you cannot do anything right. But in fact, because you have the righteousness of God, you are right in Him, and their expectation is not the one He asks you to live up to, His is. And what's His expectation of you? Only that you love Him back, that you believe and live for Him, and He asks you to make sure other people know that He loves them too. Pleasure is one of the things on here. And I say, oh, yes, the lust of the flesh. Well, there are other things too. There's the lust of the test lotto. And there's the lust of the having the bigger boat than the bloke next door. And there's the places where you're having a really good time. And honestly, that one drink really made me feel good. And then you have another one. And the things that make us feel good can become things which bind us. Those arrows are also ones we need to be aware of. It's not that they're bad things. They're a good thing. In fact, God created sex, so that's a good thing too. In the right place at the right time. In the wrong place, wrong time. It becomes something which can burn us badly, really badly. So it's important to know that that can be an arrow rather than something that at that moment is just a feel-good moment, and following the feel-good can sometimes lead us somewhere God doesn't want us to go. Unworthiness is one of those things. Mistrust. When we stop walking in truth and in integrity, we stop being able to trust other people, because if we're not doing that with one another, we stop trusting because we get hurt, right? So the enemy wants us not to walk in truth and integrity, because then we won't trust one another. And the Roman soldiers needed to trust one another, and so do we. We need to be able to work together, yeah? So, the trick is, hold your shield up even if it's on fire. Okay? Don't drop it. A soap shield will extinguish the flames even if it gets hot. Don't drop it. Your faith is what your shield is. When it gets hot, go to that place where you hear the word of God. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Faith, when it gets hot, we hold the shield. Don't drop it, because that will go out if you hold that shield. And the other thing that's the temptation is, my shield gets hot, I drop it and I run away. Right? And I can drop my shield and I can isolate myself, because I start to feel like I don't belong because I drop my shield and I'm not doing really well as a Christian, so I won't go and hang out with other Christians because I'm no longer worthy of that. Enemy loves that one. He loves that one. You know, the fact that you're saying you're not a very good Christian is an act of faith, because you realize that you're falling short a little bit. You still believe in God, come back. Hang out with other Christians. What can we do for one another? If you sit down and say that to somebody, they're going to go, excuse me? You are this person and that person. I've seen you be this person. They're going to encourage you in it, aren't they? Don't isolate yourself when things come against you. I've made this mistake. Really easy to do. Come and be part of the people of God. Because when you come and be part of the people of God, you have all of God's army around you to support you. Pull their shields across, keep you safe within the wall and the roof until you can hold a shield again. This is a very important part of our armor, isn't it? Few scriptures that I love. First one is from Joshua chapter 1. A lot of you will know it. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the way that is formulated in the Hebrew, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God will not drop you. The second scripture that I love is in John 10. I share with you as we finish. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand.